Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, everybody. My name is Don Happy. I'm the Global Practice Director for AT&T Consulting. AT&T Consulting is a professional services arm of AT&T. We founded our practice in 2007, where we took our convergence, our IP telephony practice, and we converged that with our Microsoft Technologies consulting practice, forming a robust team for unified communications. The topic today is hybrid unified communications and collaboration and architecting for the future. So when we start talking about the discussion topics, you may have heard the term rising tide raises all boats. So we're going to level set the term hybrid and in the context that we're going to talk about it in the meeting today. Next agenda item, I have a couple of slides on industry trends, the growing trends towards specific consumption models and choices UC decision makers are making. And then we'll go through macro trends that are driving IT industry initiatives, and I hope that that message resonates with the people in the crowd today. Then we'll go through the unified communications journey. This should be very consistent with a lot of the models that we've taken in our UC deployments. So we'll go through that journey starting in 2007, where really a lot of the deployments got started. And then I'll carry that into 2015 and the trends that AT&T's seen across our RFPs, across our customer deployments, integration methods, and those four. So that should be a good journey that we walk through. And then we'll go into the UC deployment methods. This is where I really get into the different models that are available to customers. And really what I would like for the takeaway is when we get into the hybrid comparisons and the criteria, you know, this will be a really good criteria that you can go into the partner pavilion and ask the partners on how they deliver their models. So definitely when we get to those, it should be good food for thought around that. And then I am very happy to report that I have a customer here today. Sylvina Petersilge from Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway is here. It is one of the largest railways of North America, and it is the case study today for a hybrid solution. It's hybrid in the context of a premise hosted dedicated with a Office 365 platform and hybrid in the area of contact center. So it should be a really good case study for which there should be a lot of interest. So starting on the defining hybrid in the context of the presentation today, it's really talking about a mix of premise, dedicated, multi-tenant platforms. And really we're going to be going through a comparison of premise, shared multi-tenant, and maybe a mixture of those scenarios, and even a mix into premise, shared multi-tenant, and partner managed. And then the takeaway here is go to the partner pavilion, use the model comparisons that we'll use today to ask the partners how they deliver their services. So we're going to balance discussions today on cost and feature set. We're going to balance the scenarios of CapEx versus OpEx, and then we're going to talk about security, scale, and administration, which is all on the top of minds of when we select a UC solution. So what are some of the forces shaping the enterprise? The top level issue that's facing IT today is IT spending is under scrutiny. So IT must rationalize either their application portfolio or they must rationalize their IT investments. So maybe there's legacy systems as disparate room-based conferencing solutions. Maybe there's a mixed bag of PBX platforms. And quite frequently, our customers that we're working with have a mixed bag of maybe Centrix, Key Systems, multiple PBX platforms, and that's really driving the need for IT to drive that efficiency and rationalize that complexity. And Sylvina will actually talk about the three C's, about converging her infrastructure and making it more simple for her end users. That certainly will drive business efficiency, and that layers on top of more broader workforce efficiency in your organization. And then in the area of economic growth and innovation, we had a really good case study with a large consumer goods organization around innovation, and they had the concept of UC in the premise of ideation. So the consumer goods wants to bring products to market quickly, and this concept of ideation and using the unified communication tools to bring those ideas to market quicker was exactly the UC strategy. And it could even work conversely in that maybe an idea wasn't a great idea. And so maybe the idea was terminated early so that they're focusing on better products and better solutions. And then the innovation was even extended out to the consumer. So they were getting input from their consumers. They called them top moms. And the top moms would provide features and benefits to new products and really drive innovation within their organization. Then let's talk about IT cost savings and legacy equipment. We feel that the legacy equipment, and especially around the legacy PBX infrastructures, is really finally getting customers off the fence and instead of waiting for a multi-tenant platform to provide a PBX replacement solution. And that's really driving the percentage of numbers increasing on a dedicated hosted link platform as a PBX replacement service. So we'll talk a little bit deeper about that. And then finally, in growth and expansion, I probably don't go a week without a customer approaching me and asking me if we can deploy a Link solution in a Singapore data center. So whether it's a North America-based customer or an EMEA-based customer, they want to get into new markets and drive new revenues in Asia-Pac. So quite frequently, they're looking for support as a service in our Asia-Pac data centers. This next slide represents a Foresight Networks survey. This was a survey of 547 enterprise as well as SMB customers. And the enterprise was focused on the growing trend towards unified communication as a service, so UCaaS. In this context, I actually went back to an older survey in 2011 because I thought it'd be interesting to see what the market trends were back then and see if it's consistent what we're seeing in the industry today as far as the focus towards a certain delivery model. So in and around 2011 and 2010, majority of the AT&T deployments was customer premise. So majority of the UC deployments out there, whether it was all the workloads or just some of the workloads, they were self-managed, self-deployed. But even as early as 2008, AT&T had one of the largest Microsoft UC managed services with the full capabilities, including voice, as early as 2008. So not quite as high a percentage back then as the premise, but certainly hosted, managed, and dedicated was still some pretty good numbers back at that time. And then back in 2011, the as-a-service was a lot less as the new multi-tenant platforms were coming to market and customers were being educated on the capabilities as well as the limitations of those products. Then we shift that to the future view back then, and I think it's consistent with what we've seen in the room, where self-maintain is starting to decrease. In fact, a lot of the customers that AT&T Consulting has deployed on a premise-based solution is now coming back to us and asking about our cloud solutions. So that's frequently happening. And then certainly the largest growth that we've seen has been in the managed services space and then as a service model. So we as a provider in the industry have had to support both of those models. So now let's take you through the journey of UC. And I guess this is more consistent what probably a lot of us has gone through as far as the deployment methods. Certainly in 2007, we got the IM and presence platforms out there. We started mixing in a little bit of the peer-to-peer audio, video, and web conferencing. And then in about 2011 and 2012, a very strong uptick in audio conferencing. So customers were getting more comfortable with the voice components. They wanted to bring costly audio conferencing providers in-house on the Link platform, and that started to grow. And then about 2012 and 2013 was really enterprise voice. And enterprise voice at that time was more in the context of anchoring to existing PBX platform or traditional trunking. It really wasn't until about 2013 and now 2014 where our AT&T SIP trunking service and other SIP trunking providers are starting to see customers deploy on a SIP trunk as a standalone UC platform. So what does that do for you? That sets you up for the PBX replacement strategy. So those legacy and aging PBXs that you have out there, the feature set of Link can help enable that strategy. So the case study that we'll talk about today, BNSF, there's over 213 PBXs with a 40,000 user seat count, and that's absolutely one of the strategies to go tackle that number of PBX to consolidate to the UC platform. So let's now jump into the deployment options. that are generally available in the industry. What I'm doing here is this is the first slide that sets up all the different models, and I'm going to break it down into four specific ones, two that are standalone and two hybrid. And then we'll give you the benefits and the challenges at a high level. And again, these are criteria that you can go ask the partners in the Partner Pavilion on how they deliver the service. So very straightforward, blue, the shared, the cloud-based as a service model, consistent with a multi-tenant platform. The partner owns it, the partner manages it, they provide it as a service model, monthly recurring cost per seat. In the dedicated space, we see two general methods, and those methods are a dedicated solution, are either premise or a hosting provider provided a dedicated infrastructure. So one is a CapEx and one is an OpEx. In the context of our conversation today, when I get to benefits and challenges, when I talk about on-premise, I'm talking about the customer owning the hardware, I'm talking about the customer's data centers, I'm talking about the customer's infrastructure, and then their teams deploying the solution. So when I start comparing implementation, that's the context that I'm referring to. And then hosted dedicated, all the hardware, the data centers, all the link infrastructure, the load balancer, servers, firewalls, you know, all those components are in the hosting provider data center, the management and support all provided by the hosting provider. And then finally, in the theme of the presentation today, we're going to talk about hybrid, and I'm going to mix and match dedicated with cloud-based. And then we're going to talk about the benefits of mixing and matching those solutions, and we'll talk about the feature benefits as well as the limitations. So the first one is the cloud-based multi-tenant model. Again, partner-owned, partner-managed. Certainly far and above the benefits here is cost. So low per-seat cost, very easy to consume and buy the service. You can use a pay-as-you-go model. So maybe you have a specific UC use case for part of the business that want to leverage a multi-tenant platform, then it's an easy model to get into. And so I think there's a lot of buzz on how easy it is to purchase and consume the service, but you also have to consider the challenges. So when the executive teams are making the decisions to buy the service, you know, then IT is kind of left with, well, maybe there was, you know, lack of feature set. So in this context, there's less robust feature set. In a multi-tenant model, there's multiple customers on this platform. So customization of any third parties or add-on solutions, such as a Genesys contact center, you know, that may not be available in a multi-tenant model. Deployment teams. Now, deployment teams, this could get me in a little trouble here, so I'll explain this one. So deployment teams in the context of what we've generally seen in the industry in the multi-tenant platforms is one reseller to sell the service and then a separate different partner to do the migration into the multi-tenant service. So there are providers in the industry that would provide that both the solution as well as the migration. So that could go in either bucket. And then scalability and security, generally in the multi-tenant models, we've seen deployed out of a single data center or mainly deployed out of a single geography. AT&T, when we scale our voice transformation solutions, we generally scale to the size of the customer. And we generally use a three geographical model deployment for our larger base customers to get the UC services, especially the real-time communication components, closer to the business. And then security, I listed as a challenge here because a multi-tenant platform. So privacy concerns with multiple tenants being on that platform, and that's why we're listing it in challenges. There's actually a really good Gartner group around security. The Gartner group, it's titled What IT Should Know About Office 365, and it could really give you good questions to ask all the multi-tenant providers, not just Microsoft, but ask all the multi-tenant providers about the security context of their platform. So a very good Gartner group document. The next one is hosted dedicated environment. This is where the partner owns and manages the data center. They have the equipment. And the benefits here is in a link context. This is similar to your premise deployment. So your full featured link capabilities, all the way through enterprise voice, E911 CAC, you know, all those components that you would get with a premise deployment, a partner can host and manage that for you. So full-featured, and how about customization? Let's say your legal and regulatory compliance has specific IMR archiving products that they want to add to the solution. Hosting providers can provide that level of customization. Operational administrative flexibility. Very good questions to ask the providers. You know, how do you get access to the system? Is there PowerShell commands that you run to do the administration? Is your changes in your Active Directory replicated over into the partners? These are all great questions to ask the different providers. And then implementation. For the large providers of a dedicated host link solution, they also have global feet on the street, some of them do. They also have professional services to help you with all those components. So more of that broader view program management approach and the global transformation teams to also do the deployment. And that's why we're listing implementation and the benefits here. And then scalability. I talked about that three data center model for large customers. That's how we can scale on a large level. So Royal Dutch Shell is a Microsoft publicly referenced success story. What's not well known in the industry is that's AT&T managing that link infrastructure, and we manage it out of three global data centers to get the real-time communication components, voice, conferencing, get that closer to the business. And then security, we list security here in the benefit versus the multi-tenant being a challenge in that this isn't a multi-tenant platform generally. So this is a dedicated to the customer, and you don't have multiple tenants on this platform, so that's in the context of security. Now, certainly, you have to do your due diligence with each partner, even on a dedicated solution, on how they're going to secure and address privacy and archiving, all those concerns with their platform. Now, cost. This is where we differentiate from the multi-tenant. May certainly not be as the price point that you were looking for multi-tenant. Pricing model as well. In a multi-tenant model, it's kind of pay as you go. Some of the hosting providers will want a minimum commitment for a certain seat count before they build you a dedicated infrastructure. So that's really some of the major differences between a multi-tenant and the hosted dedicated. So that is the two standalone. Now let's kind of shift this discussion into hybrid. In this context, what we're talking about is link on-premise. With an exchange multi-tenant platform. This is actually a common deployment that we're seeing now. So in the case of an example of customer's deployment leveraging Office 365. And that's where BNSF was originally looking. So in this context, just like the partner hosted, full featured, full benefits, full customization, operational administrative flexibility because you own it, you manage it, you add the whatever components that you want to address. And then similar to the hosted, the customer prem can address remote site requirements. And let me explain that a little bit. So when we talk about remote site requirements, as much as we would all love softphone and have softphones everywhere and every parts of the business use softphone only, it's just really not a reality for a lot of businesses. So we know that we work with our customers, and they may have, for example, there may be labor contracts or union contracts that tie to certain hard phones or feature set that the business is going to have to support. How about remote site analog supports, overhead paging, faxing, redundancy and resiliency out at the remote site? These are all features that you want if you're going to use a platform for a voice replacement solution. Now let's talk about challenges in the context of link only. Certainly with the exchange multi-tenant, you're getting price benefits there, but from a link perspective, you're putting it on-premise, and it's only a challenge here in the context that it's a CapEx model. And a lot of the RFPs that we're getting today, they want an OpEx model, and they want it more in a cloud-based solution. I'm not saying all of them are that way, but certainly a majority that we're seeing. As far as comparing the premise cost with a partner hosted, it's depending really what you want to attain from a business standpoint. So it can be quite cost effective for a hosting provider if you're really looking to full spectrum of voice transformation. But if you're just looking for IAM and presence deployments, you know, premise is going to be probably a lot more cost effective. Implementation challenges, again, I put the context that Premise owned link is your teams deploying it, your teams managing it, and then your teams doing a global deployment if you're a global customer. So there's challenges with staffing. And Silvina will actually talk about, she had a very robust team of Microsoft UC professionals in the industry, some of the smartest and the brightest, but they wanted to get out of the PBX business, and they wanted to get out of managing servers and data center, and they wanted to focus more on enabling the business from a UC perspective. But I'll let her go into that a little bit deeper. Okay, now when we take a link premise and integrate that with an Office 365, for example, there is the hybrid interoperability that goes in hand with that. So there's a DIR synchronization, a DIR sync process to synchronize Office 365 with a customer premise solution. And I actually have a diagram that'll show that a little bit. So the next hybrid model, the last one, is link dedicated hosted with Exchange multi-tenant. Again, much like the premise, full feature, supports customization, addresses remote site requirements, deploy SBAs if you want to, supporting analog, faxing, overhead paging, those types of things. Implementation here is a positive because some of the larger partners, they can provide you implementation, feet on the street, global deployment capabilities, all the way down to the phone level. We even have AT&T ABFS field services that can even do MACDs on phones in the gateways. So this is why it's a benefit for some of the partners that have that global capability to help you. So really what we're doing here is we're blending features with the benefits of a multi-tenant, the cost savings of a multi-tenant. So it's kind of a blended approach. In our mind, Exchange is kind of a commodity-based service these days. It's been hosted for over a decade now. It's really more of a commodity-based service. Link is not yet a commodity-based service. The feature parity is not there to make that a link as a commodity service, so therefore there's an opportunity for hosted partners to provide a full-featured capability. The challenges, we added one more here. In the case of the previous one where it was on-premise, this is now in the partner's cloud, so the partner may deploy a separate AD forest, so there's another leg of potential integration that goes in to synchronize the forest, and I'll have a diagram that shows that, that illustrates that. So I've been talking a lot about the feature parity between the different offers. So I wanted to bring it to light, using the TechNet articles I've listed there. And this is certainly not an exhaustive list at all. This is just a partial list, but it really gives you an idea of where, depending on what you're trying to accomplish and the features and functionality that you need, would be a good area to start looking. So on the left side, or on the right side, the feature set with all the capabilities, and then we have in the dark blue the link online dedicated, and then the aqua color is either a premise or a partner hosted environment. And the feature parity is there as far as the devices that they support, the tablets, the Mac, PC, mobile phones, that's kind of all there. The call features even, hold transfer, delegate, those capabilities there. But really when you get down as what we as IP telephony experts in the industry know is the voice capability. So the E911, call emission control, support for remote site survivability. So you want to deploy gateways out there for some parts of the business. Certainly other features as well, such as response groups. That's where you start to get some of the limitations. So either premise or fully dedicated can support all those models. So I talked about showing you kind of what a potential partner forest would look like if you moved off-prem and moved into a partner cloud. So on the right side or on the left side is your customer forest in blue, where your Active Directory resides, your user accounts are there, are enabled. And some partners may deploy in your forest, or in this diagram illustrates, they may deploy a separate forest. In this separate forest model, the user accounts are disabled, and there's a synchronization process in between the two environments, such as the Federated Identity Management Server, to synchronize the two environments. And then certainly on the right side, the server administration, the partner will give you consoles into the environment. They may allow PowerShell commands. Ask them about how they allow you access into the environment, and if you can, run custom commands against the environment to configure it. One more slide before we get to the value-added slide or the case study. So this value-added services. So one thing I'm really seeing in the industry, and I hope this resonates for the customers here, is the partner ecosystem is great, except when there's a problem. And when there's a problem, the customer starts to become kind of a swivel chair between the different vendors that are providing the service. So you may have a separate vendor providing the SIP trunking. You may have a separate vendor providing the application. You may have a separate provider providing managed WAN services. And then when there's a problem, the ecosystem isn't so great anymore. And the customer becomes a swivel chair. Is anyone seeing that kind of scenario where you become kind of the broker to fix problems? I see some nodding. Okay.
I like the swivel chair.
Yeah. Okay. So in this context, it's not just a question to the partners about what they can provide as far as a link service. Ask them about what other capabilities that they have. So whether it's IP SIP trunking or maybe it's mobility. Maybe they can provide mobile solutions to help IT solve problems. It's great that our executives say that we want a BYOD strategy, but then IT's stuck with having to deal with a personal phone brought into the environment to manage. So AT&T has a product on the booth. It's called Toggle. It virtualizes that phone, and it gives you a personal persona and a business persona. And that way, IT can just manage the business side of the persona of the phone. So that's just a value-added service that you really never think about that could help you in your UC strategy. How about walk in and take over? You don't want to manage those old legacy PBXs anymore. You want to focus on the new stuff. Some of the providers can walk in and take over those legacy and aging PBXs that are breaking and failing. And as they transform the environment, then they can decommission them. So you're freeing up your IT staff to focus more on the business. And what Silvina will talk about is the UC end-user training. That's very important for adoption. You know, I heard on the stage at the keynote that, you know, there wasn't training as part of some of the programs. That doesn't work in everybody's environment. So training and adoption is important. If you can free up some of your staff from servers and data centers and put them in training, I think the adoption will grow. Global deployments. So I'm not just talking about global deployments of gateways or the link infrastructure, but how about global deployment in respect to actual placement of the phones or site assessments? You really don't hear the term anymore that was used in 2009, VoIP as you are, because that was really never a reality. You weren't going to VoIP as you are, so you need to do the network assessments. You need to do the LAN-WAN evaluation. You have to look at quality of service, and you have to architect that on the network before you overlay your link voice infrastructure. So there are some providers that will provide UC network readiness assessments to support you. There's partners that can help with the QoS architecture and design. And that's the type of service that you need. And then let's talk about end-to-end support. So the customer being the swivel chair, let's kind of talk about how we can erase that. So just think if you have one provider providing the SIP trunk, you have one provider providing the hosted link application, you have one provider, which some of the customers in the room today, I know that have a managed AT&T MRS router, and then you have the gateway for site survivability. What does that give you? That gives you that end-to-end availability, takes the customer out of the swivel chair, and AT&T is in that swivel chair. Other partners can potentially do that, so I'm just offering that. So these are some things to think about in addition to just the basic link platform. And then number four, I'll save some time here. I'll address managed contact center solutions on the next slide. So this is a case study for Burlington Northern Santa Fe. When we engaged with them, very strong team in Microsoft UC. We did a whiteboard session. We outlined several initiatives that were going on in the environment. So there was a link initiative upgrade to 2013. There was a contact center RFP. There was a voice transformation project of 213 PBXs to consolidate that infrastructure. And then there was Office 365. So we're working with Donna Holt on the Office 365 program. And we said, look, this is a great opportunity to bring all these separate initiatives under one global program or one single program. So what we did is we architected a SIP trunk to leverage for both their Link initiative and their contact center initiative. And then we hosted Link and Genesys in the same data centers and co-located those solutions together and then provided IAM and presence integration with the Genesys platform. And then we added a second data center for load balancing and high availability to give them the resiliency they needed in their solution. And then the hybrid aspect of this was the AT&T Managed Link service was integrated, will be integrated with the Office 365, providing, again, the feature set with the balance of price point of a commodity-based exchange solution. And then we have the AT&T MPLS network to their remote sites, and where the contact center agents and the employees are. And then we're using AudioCodes gateways for the remote site survivability, and we're using UC devices such as Plantronics, AudioCodes phones, hard phones. You know, ask questions here today about the solution on IP hard phones. I'm sure Sabina would love to have all softphone deployment. It would save cost, right? But she knows that she has requirements for IP hard phones, and we're evaluating the different types of phones. So with that, I'm going to introduce Sylvina Petersells. She is the manager of Unified Communications at BNSF, and she will take us through the case study slide, and then we'll go into question and answer.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me? I don't know if you can see me. This is very tall for me. So don't explain our challenges. First of all, we are BNSF Railway. We are one of the largest Class 1 railroads. We carry a fourth of the U.S. rail freight. We operate in 28 states and two Canadian provinces. So we are very dispersed. And that is one of our challenges. Our legacy voice infrastructure is composed of 213 PBXs scattered around the U.S. It's a complex, it's very complex systems. It's multi-vendor. It is aging. So we knew that this was coming. We started a couple of years ago to lay the foundation for what is going to be our next voice strategy. We want to make sure that it's not just voice there, that it can support all the multi-channel capabilities. So we tried Link. We actually had Link since 2009. It was OCSR2 at that time. We had very talented engineers, very deep in Link. So we tried Link in the enterprise as IAM and presence, but we also rolled out several sites. And we were able to see that it could support the use cases that we have. One of the other challenges is that we are over 100 years old railroad, and we have several use cases very ingrained in our business process that they are based on analog. So we know that we have challenges supporting many legacy processes. We saw Link could fit our business, and we also start looking at contact centers. We want to make sure that our contact centers weren't in a silo, that those users that they have Link today and they like it, they can also leverage those features in the contact center. So Karen contact center is, we have a mix of Genesys IVR with Avaya. So we had the RFP last year and look at that Genesys, entire Genesys suite was very compelling because it was integrating really nice with Link. They had a really nice integration. So there is one we decided, okay, let's go contact center with Link. At the same time, we were moving our Exchange environment to Office 365. So our requirements were growing into, we need somebody to help us out hosting Link, hosting contact centers, integrating with Office 365. By the way, we're multi-carrier because we have 213 locations that we connect through different carriers. So we want somebody that actually let us put more than just one SIP trunk into our environment. So our our goals were to consolidate the system to make sure that we reduce the footprint. It's not an easy via link. It's just one environment. We wanted to centralize them. They are currently very dispersed. So the dialing plan is just a nightmare. So we want to make sure that it's just one system and it's consistent. And we want to converge because we have done the analysis about running TDM and running IP separate and what it will take to actually upgrade our IP network to support the voice, and the savings are substantial. So that's one thing that we wanted to do. So with that, AT&T approached us and explained that actually it can fulfill our requirements, that they can actually host the environment for us, that it can integrate with the contact center environment. They can also integrate with Office 365. They did something that we like, that is the collocation. We are going to have like a collocation cage in their data centers, in the dual data centers, so we can bring more carriers. We can bring a diversity of carriers into our premises. And we can focus on what is important for us. It's like AT&T core business is to manage voice. Mm-hmm. Our core business is running trains. And I can tell you there are many systems that we cannot just go and buy off the shelf. So we have a very large technology services department that has to actually write the code to make sure that we can operate trains in an efficient way. One thing that we haven't done, like I tell you, I have like very talented engineers, but we haven't trained our users. And if you see the adoption, it's substantial. It's just the tool is very intuitive, but it's something that we haven't paid attention. I think that if we dedicate our resources to actually go and take care of our users, the adoption will be different. It will be. We can actually integrate the tool to our business application. We can take it to the next steps. I have a story that I was sharing with the team from a month ago. My team supports all the audiovisual. So we went, installed a Polycom room system, integrated with Link. We stayed for like a week in Washington, D.C. site, and we put this beautiful room. It's just all integrated, perfect. It works perfectly. So I called the users and I said, hey, how do you like your room? And she was like, oh, I love it. It looks beautiful, but what does it do? It's just, we didn't, in 1 week that we were there, we were so concentrated on making it work that we really forgot the little bitty detail of telling the user how it works. So obviously we want to repair that part, but that is actually our focus. It's a strategic focus on business applications to deliver efficiency to our railroad. So we started the project at the beginning of January. It's going to be a very long project. The team is finishing all the discovery at this point. In a few months, we will have the environment set up in AT&T. We'll start migrating the users. From then, it's a four-year journey to migrate 213 PBXs to Link. That is actually a PBX a week. So it's going to be a very challenging project. So stay tuned. We'll let you know how it goes. Thank you.
Thanks, Savina. You really heard things like customization, you know, things like the co-location and allowing them to have flexibility even with carrier diversity in that environment. Customization with contact center. And then really, I think one of the most important aspects of the project was taking all these separate initiatives, because IT is busy. If you have all these separate different projects going on, that's multiple meetings that you're attending and the extra meetings that you're having to deal with, extra vendors that you're having coming into your environment to work all these different scenarios. So kind of that one throat to choke can bring all those initiatives together under one program and then have an integrated solution. So that concludes the presentation today. Hope you got a lot out of it. Hopefully there was a lot of food for thought to start going to ask partners about their solutions and how they deliver it, and then do the comparison and contrast on your own. So with that, is there any questions? Oh, questions get a free Skype gift card. So that'll probably do it. Okay, Chris.
So the question is about cost saving and how we are funding the project, pretty much. Well, we did look at the comparisons of running on-premise versus hosted. They were savings, but they weren't enough to swing the balance to where we go. So that's why it actually took quite a bit of analysis to go to the hosted solution. The savings come primarily from the TDM to IP. So that's why actually we wanted to do the project in 5 years. So I think that's what we wanted, IT wanted. But when we look at the savings of ripping out all the TDM trunks that they are going to all these sites and move it to IP, that's where the savings, and centralized zip trunking, you can imagine the long distance bills that we have with going through all these locations, that's where the savings were. Now, between for us, and I'll suggest that you do your own study, because we are very lean in the data centers. We have the data centers; they are huge. If I take just a few servers out of the data center, it doesn't bleep much. And we have our infrastructure that is already leased, so we are very lean on the data center. So, it was pretty much like, even if we move it to an on-premise, like a hosted versus a staying on-premise, but most of the funding to upgrade our platform is coming from the TDM to IP conversion.
You know, Gartner Group has a great quote. It states that less than 20% of organizations have a documented UC strategy before they deploy it. So in Sylvina's context, that, you know, cost justification, evaluate, look at the financial modeling. So, you know, all of our UC deployments should be front-ended with that financial view, the look at the integration of different platforms. So what we always recommend is a strategy and roadmap to lead your global deployments. Whether it's AT&T providing the UC strategy and roadmap or another provider, or you're doing it internally, that financially modeling of those scenarios that we gave today would be a very valuable exercise. And then break it down with the feature parity. And then also look at things like customization and integration. There's a lot of analysis that needs to go into selecting a partner. Another question, Debbie? Questions on audio conferencing, and what was the shift in her audio conferencing, and was there cost savings on audio conferencing, if you guys did not hear that? Go ahead.
So audio conferencing is huge in the railroad. We have huge numbers of audio conferencing. We're actually hosting our internally. We are doing about between 79 and 85 ears in a year, in minutes, in audio conferencing. It's huge. And they all happen at the same time. It's 6 a.m. in the morning, so we had to really build the church for Easter here to be able to accommodate that minute. And we're currently handling that internally. We have huge Avaya bridges to handle that. So that's what I'm saying. You really had to do your own business case, because for someone that is hosting audio conferencing externally, that you can absorb that cost, but we couldn't. It's just we already have the bridges. We are already supporting audio conferencing internally, so switching it from and Link is handling part of audio conferencing too. So it was already there. So it wasn't a savings that we can take over for our voice transformation. So
questions? Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for attending. We appreciate your time.